Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Want to give you a brief recap and update of what's going on here in Africa. I'm coming to you from Kenya today, and we just returned from Dar es Salaam, had a big five-day crusade down there, and we had a lot of warfare around that crusade. There's a lot of warfare in general in Tanzania, a lot of witchcraft, and so you don't go into that territory and preach the gospel for 5 days without a lot of warfare. And so we had some issues with the pastors. We had some issues with different things that went on in the crusade. But all in all, we had a good crusade, and we had many people were in prime enemy territory. We had many people come to the Lord. We had 125 adult salvation decisions, and many children, probably in dozens and dozens of children. We don't generally track the ones under 10 years old, but the ones over 10, we had dozens and dozens of children who came forward at the altar and made a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. So we leave these people in the hands of the pastors down there to disciple them, to get them baptized, to get them Bibles. And so that is the job of the pastor. And so we leave these people in good hands as we come back away from the crusade. Well, here in the home turf of Kenya, our children's home is doing well. We have about 33 children now, and they're off of school for a few days. They are home to rest. And so when I came back from Tanzania, they were very, very happy to see me and greeted me and hugged me. And so it was very good to be home. And I pray with them whenever I'm here. I go out to the children's home and I pray with them. And so they are doing well. They'll be going back to school next week here in Kenya. And our church is doing well. We have about 80 adult members, 80 to 90 adult members, and probably 50 or 60 children in our church. And so it's doing well also as we speak. And we're praying about another crusade in Tanzania. It looks like January we're going to be going back to Arusha, a city of about 500,000 people in the middle northern part of Tanzania. And so we may even be doing two crusades there at the same time, simultaneously on different ends of the city or in different parts of the city. So pray about that with us, going back to Arusha, and pray about that. Pray for provision, pray for protection, for wisdom and clarity. And so we appreciate your prayers for this ministry and for the crusades and the other aspects of the ministry. Well, today, as I spoke, we're going to be talking about Lazarus and the rich man. And this is a great story in the New Testament. I've preached this story several times in crusades because it is a salvation story. And I'm preaching this today because there's some of you out there listening, I'm sure, who have never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've never bowed your knee and said to him, "Yes, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to make you the Lord and Savior of my life." And so if that's you today, if you're listening and you're curious about the gospel and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord, you've never confessed him, I want you to pay particular attention today to this story. And I'm going to weave into the story a little bit of my own personal testimony. And so that's going to be a part of this teaching today, a part of this message today. My own personal testimony will be coming up near the end of this story. And so we are going to take it up here in verse 19. And this is the way this story goes. There was a certain man, a certain rich man, who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell down from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. Well, I'm going to stop right there and digest that a little bit, analyze that just a little bit. There were two men. This story is about two men. One was very rich and one was very poor. They were at the opposite ends of the spectrum in their wealth and in their, you might say, earthly blessings. And so this is a picture of many people around the world. If you ever come to Africa or any of the nations in the 1040 window, it's called the 1040 window, where the majority of the poor people in the world live. That's India, Asia, certain parts of Africa. It's in the 1040 window. And so if you've ever been to any of those countries, you know how poor people can be. You know how poor people are. And so it is a story, when I preach this in Africa, that really hits home with the people, because most of the people that come to the Crusades are poor people. Most of them, we schedule the Crusades for the most part in areas of depression, of areas where there's slums and a lot of poor people, where the housing is very dense. We do that because those are the people that are hungry for the gospel. When Jesus stood up in the temple in Luke 4:19, he spoke a scripture from the book of Isaiah. And one of the things he spoke is, "The Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." And so the poor are hungry for the gospel. The poor are the ones primarily who cry out to the Lord, the ones that primarily seek the Lord because they don't have money for medicine, they don't have money to send their children to school, they don't have money sometimes even to put food on the table. And so the poor people are the ones who cry out to the Lord. Well, the rich man represents many people in America, many people in the wealthy nations of the world. And certainly, I think you could say that America has, in a lot of ways, turned its back on God. In a lot of ways, America relies on their wealth. They rely on their great military. They rely on the economic power that we have. And so America represents the rich man, or vice versa, the rich man represents America. And so this story unfolds with Lazarus, the beggar. He's laying out at the gate of the rich man. And the rich man is inside, and it says he's faring sumptuously. In other words, he eats very well every day, probably has a lot of food to throw away. Well, isn't that America? We throw a lot of food away. I used to run a restaurant, so I know how much food can be thrown away in a day. And also, the rich man had very fine clothing, and that pretty much is typical of America. Here in Africa, many people wear clothing is full of holes, full of rags. The seams are ripping apart. And in America, we would consider that not even worthy to put on our body. And so we have two pictures of two men, one very rich and one very poor. And Lazarus, he was just waiting for the crumbs to come off of the rich man's table. Well, I've talked to people here in Africa who ate from the dog food bowls. They were working for some wealthier person or some person that had some money and had a compound, and they ate from the dog food bowls with the dogs. So that is certainly a reality here in Africa. It's a reality in Asia and India and different places around the world, Central America, where people are very poor. And so it says in verse 22 that the beggar died. Lazarus died, and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. But the rich man, being in torment, that is in Hades or hell, he lifted up his eyes, and he saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. Well, let me just say here to clear up a point of confusion for some people, what is Abraham's bosom? Before Jesus Christ went to the cross, before Jesus shed his blood for the redemption of all mankind, the people who died prior to that time when Jesus went to the cross, the people who died went to a place called Abraham's bosom in Sheol or in hell. It was a holding place for people who had known God, who had known Jesus. Jesus appeared to people in the Old Testament as well. So those people, when they died, they couldn't go right to heaven. They went to a holding place called Abraham's bosom, and Abraham was there, and he apparently cared for some of them, or he consoled them, and they were waiting for the redemption of their soul and their life. They were waiting for the blood of Jesus to be shed on the cross. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:8, that Jesus descended down to the lower parts of the earth, and he took captivity captive. That phrase, he took captivity captive, is a phrase from Psalm 68, and it says that Jesus went down to the lower parts of the earth, and he led the captives to freedom. He led those who had been held in Sheol, in that holding place, he led them to freedom, and he took them to heaven then, and he had paid the ransom for their sin. He had redeemed them, and so all those people prior to the cross were redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and they were also taken to heaven, and they sat down with the Lord at the right hand of God. And so you can look at that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 through 11. It says, he who ascended is also he who descended into the lower parts of the earth, and he led captivity captive. And so Jesus descended during that three-day period when he was in the tomb, when his body was laying in a tomb. His spirit went down and preached to the demons in hell who were holding the captives captive. He preached to them, and he opened up the doors to the gates of hell, and he said, my brothers, we're coming out of here. I'm going to take you to heaven. My blood has redeemed you. My blood has paid for your sin. And so Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross redeemed all mankind, clear back to the day of Adam, and it redeems us now in 2021, all the way forward. And if Jesus doesn't return for another 500 or 1,000 years, it will redeem all of those who confess their faith in Jesus Christ. It will redeem all of those and wash their sins away, because the blood of Jesus was shed for all mankind, going back to the beginning of time and forward to the end of time. And so that is the power of the blood of Jesus. Well, the rich man is in Hades, and he looks up and he sees Abraham far off, and he sees Lazarus in his bosom, and he cries out to him, verse 24. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flame. Well, beloved, hell is a place of fire. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of eternal separation from God. Hell is a place where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out. Hell is a place of screaming agony and torment that never ends. It goes on day after day after day after day for all eternity, and it's a place that you don't want to go to. It's a place you don't even want to visit. It's a place of eternal damnation, and the worst part of it is there's no light there except for the fires that you see. There is no light there because you are separated from your Creator. You are separated from Jesus Christ, and that separation will cause you agony like you cannot believe. You're not separated from God here on this earth. You are made in the image of God, and God is trying his best to speak to you, and God is trying his best to get your attention and get your spirit shaken to the point where you can say yes to the Lord. That's why I'm on the radio every Sunday. That's why I preach the Crusades, is because God has given me an anointing. He's given me a burden for the salvation of people, not just in America through this radio broadcast, but he's given me a burden for the people here in Africa who don't know him. And you're not in a place of separation from God. Yes, you may not be going to church, you may not pray, you may not study your Bible, you may not be doing anything for the kingdom, but you're still not separated from God until you die, until the last day of your life on the earth. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, we are appointed once to die, and then comes the judgment. So you are appointed once to die. Your day of death is coming. Your day of death has been appointed by God. You don't know it. Maybe you do. Maybe you sense that your day on the earth is coming to fruition, or is coming to a close, that your time on earth is coming to a close. But I tell you, as long as you have breath, you can turn to the Lord. As long as you have breath, you can acknowledge God. You can bend your knee and say, Jesus, I want to know you. I've been a sinner. I'm a sinner now, and I want to know you, and I will receive the free gift that you have for me. Romans 6:23 says, but the free gift of eternal life is given to each one of us. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift has been given to us, and that is eternal life with our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so if you're separated from God, if your sin has separated you from God, you don't need to stay in that situation. You can change that situation this very day and turn back to the Lord, or turn to the Lord, and your sins will be forgiven you. Your sins will be washed away. Your sins will be buried with the blood of Jesus. And so you can walk in victory. You can walk in freedom. You can walk knowing that your sins are washed away, and you don't have to carry that burden with you, and you don't have to be separated from God. Well, as the rich man cried out for Abraham to send Lazarus to bring him some water, Abraham said, son, you remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, or bad things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Well, beloved, once you die, there's no transfer of your soul and your spirit from one place to another. Your family can't pray you up out of hell. If you've lived a life honoring the devil and running with the devil, your family, even if they desire to, even beyond their greatest desires and intents to put you in heaven, your family cannot pray you out of hell and establish you in heaven. Your family cannot help you. Your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband cannot help you. Your pastor can't help you. Once you die, you are dead. And once you die, then comes the judgment. And so Abraham had to give the rich man the bad news. There's no way for Lazarus to come to you, and there's no way for you to come to Lazarus. And Abraham said to the rich man, you had all the good things in life, but now you're experiencing the result of your life. Well, why was the rich man in hell? It wasn't because he had nice clothes. That's not the reason. It wasn't because he had nice food to eat and good, plentiful food to eat. That's not the reason. It's because he didn't know God, and he gave God no glory for the things in his life. He took the glory for what God had given him. He was selfish. He was crass, and he did not give God any glory for the good things that he had. Well, it was the opposite for Lazarus. He had nothing good. He was a beggar. The story of many people in Africa, they're beggars. The story of many people in India, they have a life that is painful. It is very difficult. It's hard to endure. But beloved, when they die, and if they've honored God in their life and they've confessed Jesus, then all eternity is opened up for them to be with Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Well, in verse 27, and then he said, then the rich man said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear Moses and the prophets. And he said, the rich man said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded when one comes from the dead to speak to them. And so Abraham had to give the rich man the bad news that they had, the brothers had Moses and the prophets to speak to them, give them the word of God. And he gave him even more bad news and said, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they're not going to believe somebody who comes from the dead and preaches the good news of the gospel to them. Well, we have one person for sure that has come back from the dead, and that is Jesus Christ. And the words in my Bible for this story and all these stories in the New Testament are red letter words. That means they're the words of Jesus. And we know that Jesus was resurrected. If you go look for the tomb of Jesus and you look for bones in that tomb, you're not going to find any bones. You're not going to find any evidence of where Jesus' body was laid. And another person that has come back from the dead to preach the gospel. Part of my testimony is, some of you have heard this before, but I was at one time running with the devil and doing a lot of crazy things. I was drinking a lot of alcohol, doing drugs, and just living a very careless and irresponsible life. And at one point in time, while I was living that kind of a life, I overdosed of drugs. I don't know if I was dead, alive, or somewhere in between. I just know that I was unconscious for a day, and when I woke up, I had been shaken. I woke up, I knew I had to change my life. I knew I had to make a drastic change, or my life on this earth was going to be coming to a very rapid and sad closure. And so I started to make changes in my life. I was living on the West Coast at the time, and I started going back to church, started reading my Bible, started praying. And so I am here, I believe, as a resurrected dead man to give you the message of Jesus Christ, the message that Jesus Christ saves, the good news and the hope and the peace of the gospel. And beloved, I hope you listen carefully today that I'm telling you that when you know the peace and love of Jesus Christ, you can wait until that day when the Lord takes you home to have your eternal reward. You don't need to be rewarded with all the things that people in America have, all the things that have no meaning. They're fun for a little while and then they lose their meaning. But when you have the peace and joy of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives do I give unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And so when you know the peace and the love of Jesus Christ, you know his love for you, you have peace, and the circumstances and the events of the world won't shake you like it does when you have no peace and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. So Abraham consoled Lazarus. He was in his bosom until that day when Jesus took them both up to heaven, and they sat with Jesus down at the right hand of God, and they stayed there for all eternity. If you go to heaven, you will meet Abraham, you'll meet Lazarus, and you will not meet the rich man because he is not there and he's not going to get there. None of his family is going to be able to pray for him enough to get him there. And so when you get ready to meet your Maker, beloved, I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know him today, get down on your knees, confess your sins, say, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to know you. I want you to come into my heart. I confess and repent of my sins, and I receive your Lordship over my life. Find a good church that baptizes with water baptism. Find a good church that preaches the good news of the gospel out of the Bible. Find a good church that has good Bible studies and fellowship and prayer times together. and you will be on your kingdom walk, and you will be ready to meet your Maker when that day comes. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I thank the Lord for that. Pray for this country. We are in a desperate situation in Afghanistan, and so we need prayers, we need wisdom, and we need the mercy of the Lord. And we cry out for mercy to give us wisdom to extricate ourselves from that situation. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. If you feel called to do so, we would appreciate your support. We would appreciate your prayer. You can contact us through PayPal. You can contact us through our website, gatheroutcast.com, or sit down, write us a letter, and write out a check of support to us. We want to hear from you. We appreciate your support. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.